Hello, we are learning from Kabbalah for the Student on page 90, Baal HaSulam's article, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy. You can get on our site and ask questions related to the topic. Sorry, so we have to find the article, it's not on page 90.
דיברנו היום, נתקנו היום כמה פעמים בבירורים מה זה נקרא.
We have stumbled several times upon scrutinies of what does a person's reason is, what is the man part in him, and what is above his mind and reason, which is a spiritual degree. That's the spiritual man. Our entire development throughout history as human beings, I'm not talking about Judaism. I'm talking, that's the development of people, of humanity. It is an egoistic development where our mind and heart, they go and grow. And we accept it as something, as the right thing. That's what we call development, and that we accept it in we get more discernments in our mind and heart from that very same world, but more discernments. It seems to us that this is the development. What else could there be? If I have bigger telescopes or microscopes and so on, so I see deeper inside, outside, so on. If I have greater radars, so I can see further away. The more I increase my vessels, I increase my five senses and the mind that accompanies them. So I develop. And we don't know more than that. There is a completely different development, which is a development in completely different senses, qualities that are not in us. We call them the power, the force of bestowal. But we too have as if the force of bestowal in our world, in our situation, in our state, the force of reception, the force of bestowal, we have that too. So it's not that. We say it's not that. It's intention. It's not simply forces. There is no greater force. A person is an ego, I suppose, but sometimes he performs actions which are against his ego. When we delve into it, we see that that's not how it is. That everyone's working only for themselves. It says that the quality of bestowal, which is above our reality, it's unattainable. It's ordinary form. Meaning we completely don't understand what spirituality is. We can talk about it a lot, but let's cut things short. We don't know. And for that, we have a very special, unique, precise method that really through this, like through a hole the size of a needle, such a small opening really, we can get through. What is this small opening? Where you take only your main rishimo to the other half. The spiritual spark, the godly part from above that is immersed in you, and therefore you can cross through that point, through that hole. It's like a wall, and through the wall to pass only the spark. All the rest stays behind. On the other side. And when you cross, you crossed. for your sustenance, in order to sustain the others, those on the other side of that state, on the other side of the wall, then you're still closed for them and so on. But actually, you passed. You're on the other side of the wall, and there's no connection between the two worlds because they work on a different method. This is the method of reception, and this is the method of bestowal. And in the method of bestowal and all the qualities that are there, we now have no ability to understand, to discern, to come close to it, or imagine that we understand anything about it. But all that we do, as it says, that in order to confuse ourselves, or however we put it, nonetheless, I've seen an opposite world, really. And this oppositeness is not simply the opposite to what we have in our world. Therefore, it's not through wisdom that you acquire the spiritual world, and your wisdom can actually really stand in your way. And not by any efforts that a person invents for himself on the egoistic side, that he's in this world, that he can invent any beliefs, faiths, different religions, I don't know, means, coachings, in order to pass into the next world. There is an infinite amount of efforts made in this direction in human history, and it didn't help anyone. And all the religions, beliefs, and so on, from day to day, we see how much they're in support of the ego, of the nature of our world. And therefore, whoever is in our world has no chance to say a single nice meaning correct word about the spiritual world, even by accident, by mistake. Incidentally, he can't say a word about the spiritual world because he doesn't have these words that are the words, meaning that he puts them together from his understanding and feeling of the spiritual world. No such thing. And therefore we have to discern. There are scientists in our world that, with their five senses, they investigate nature and bring results before everyone. And against them there are other scientists who are also egoists, who want to contradict them. So they examine them meticulously, and they want or don't want to accept what they brought, and then they examine this, and through arguments and so on and debate, they scrutinize, reveal the truth that is revealed in the five senses. And therefore it says that a judge has only what his eyes see. And we have no doubt about that. We trust it 100% in the area where five senses are, meaning in the so-called our world, science is science there. They have clear degrees of what an axiom is, assumption, a basic assumption. What does it mean that someone looks for the future? It's like a kind of an assumption. Approximation, what is a proof or not a proof? Oh, there are different definitions for these different words, but they're all very defined in the different wisdoms. Biology, zoology, and so on and so on. And natural sciences, meaning of the world in which we are. And because of our weakness, we can't perceive the whole of nature, therefore we divide it into physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, and so on and so forth. And in the last 100 years, there's chemistry with physics together, physics within chemistry, chemistry within zoology, and so on and so on. Meaning they're interdisciplinary.
Interdisciplinary items.
And specifically this science that consists, that exists between these disciplines, it actually leads all of science and gives fruit, especially because the world, since it became more integral, it necessitates us to come to know the connections and not particular parts that we research separately. And we have to acknowledge that what we research in science, we research this according to our mind, according to our vessels, to our tools, and we're aware of it in the wisdom, in science, that everything is limited. We'll keep developing, we'll have something else, and we'll never come to know nature. There is even this kind of an assumption in science that nature is really limitless. The deeper you get into the atom, you'll discover a complete universe there. And that's really true. But to the spiritual world, it's something completely different. The more we know how to research our world and to rely on research, that these things too, they lately go through different problems in science and falsifications. I pity today's scientists who are really in a state that evokes in me really mercy. Because everything came to an end. Nature became more and more round and integral. And there is still, according to the natural previous approach of the individual egoistic person. So therefore, there is no longer any connection between them and surrounding nature. And it's as if they've exhausted themselves in researching linear nature, because they themselves are linear egoists. And the new nature that is revealed in our world as a circle, as a sphere, where everything is interconnected globally, they don't have the ability to research it, because our senses remain egoistic. That's it. So now, with what has to do with Kabbalah, there is a certain area that really, if we were not to talk about it, it's Abraham, who our patriarch gave the presents to the and sent them east and so on. He gave it to his mistresses, and then we wouldn't have talked about it. Then humanity wouldn't have risen to the level of religions. But simply against all the primitive customs that existed against winds, trees, rocks, really. And this is what they used to bow to, because they saw that nature is great. And just like with a great, someone who's great, I want to give him a compliment and so on for him to be nice to me. So the same way towards the ocean, volcanoes and earthquakes and wind and anything else that could be a kind of a problem for me. But that's it. Humanity would not transcend that. They wouldn't have even think about souls, the next world. It's already something that's from a different level of assumption. There is a part that a person's engaged in which is called philosophy. It's not science. Because there's no basis to what is researched. What does basis mean? That there's no attempt, there's no experience that I do something, I get results, write an article, others examine it. Suppose my daughter, she's a biologist, she writes an article. She puts it in some magazine. It's a scientific booklet on the internet. Others examine it and examine it very precisely. There are a few laboratories in the world that examine it. And then they give their opinion. And if it's truth, then it's accepted as truth. No such thing in philosophy. Doesn't exist. It's simply the human brain thinks that this or that about different things, about science, about life, about everything. There's no possibility to examine these things because they talk about something that does not clothe in matter. And therefore you can't examine it in a laboratory or anything else. But because it does not clothe in matter, but it's simply the work of a person's mind, his imagination, that it seems to him like this or that. They thought, now they don't, but they used to think that it's considered to be a higher part of what human nature is engaged in. Therefore, philosophy, before the development of science from the intermediate days and on, philosophy before that was really appreciated to such an extent that we're what we say a PhD doctor, meaning it's philosophic doctor. It's like philosophy is the comprehensive science. But the development of science from about 300-400 years ago, when the entire process started, we counted from the days of Uri, who's the Messiah, son of Joseph, but from him and on, suppose. Philosophy is starting to come down from the stage because we see from science that here we can examine, we can be sure what we're doing, we always achieve what we want. Whereas in philosophy, it's always wrong. It can't say anything. It doesn't speak about the future barely at all. And if it does, then you can't rely on it. What it says about the past, what each feels like, they arose among the philosophers too. So they are in dispute. It's a whole big lie to an extent that the wisdom of Kabbalah, philosophy, always liked to research. They even like to study Hebrew and Aramaic, but nonetheless the philosophers did not understand that there is the matter of perception, of attainment, that without getting in there with your senses into the spiritual realm. Like a scientist in our world, you have nothing to research. You're not there. Who are you then? They started relating to Kabbalah with their corporeal mind being on the one side of the wall without passing on to the other side through the tip of the needle. And talking about what happens on the other side, as if they understand and discuss and argue. The main thing to write something. Each one has to, you know, once a year, write a book. Publish a book. So in the meantime, we see that this business called philosophy still exists, but of course its place is already in the graveyard. To such an extent that they don't even study Kabbalists. They don't study Kabbalists. A bit Hasidism here, there, externally only. But Kabbalists, what do they know about Kabbalists? Meaning they study the wisdom of Kabbalah, really, in order to study it. But the maxim is that they take a copy from here, from there, put it together, make some kind of an essay among them, and that's that. To such an extent that there was a big philosopher in Israel about 50 years ago. His name was
Gershon
Shulem. He's called of the fathers of modern philosophy in Israel that didn't even say about Bala Sulam one word. That in that period, Bala Sulam was with him in the same time. And he wrote different things about Kabbalah. He used to research Kabbalah, didn't write a word about Bala Sulam. Why? I understand them. Because in order to research something like this, it's infinite things. So where is philosophy next to that? When we study, we understand. So he simply put it aside as if it doesn't exist. How can a scientist treat something like that? A real scientist, he erases his whole life if he sees that it's wrong. He says wrong and that's it. Bala Sulam in his writings he erased what he wrote, said wrong. In Tess, he says there, this is because of this and this and this and that. Then he rules it out and says wrong, and writes something else, and then rules it out again and says wrong. This is science. This is the attitude. There's no absolute. The absolute is the final correction in infinity. Till then, there are doubts and whatever is waste for the lower. The waste of the upper that comes as food to the lower. It says that if you rise, if you ascend, you erase the previous degree, it becomes waste. Incorrect. You can't use it. Whoever holds himself in the day of yesterday, he does not advance. He does not advance. This is something that you have to understand. All of our ability to advance is to disconnect from what we had a moment ago, because we're constantly advancing in complete total change in our whole entire ten sefirot. All the mind and all the heart upgrade, everything is deleted and comes something new.
And whoever holds himself can't rise above reason, because he can't advance. Therefore, philosophers we have a very strong opinion about them. The war with Amalek from generation to generation. And we need to understand that the philosophy took the wisdom of Kabbalah and is teaching it in the university, because Kabbalah is entering the faculty of philosophy, and we need to understand that really it's stealing all that there is in the wisdom of Kabbalah, if it was capable to at least to steal it properly. And why am I saying this? Because from within, we also are philosophers. And we need to kill the philosopher in it, the philosopher that's in each of us, and slowly bury it. I'm not talking about them, that they don't have, that I have nothing to say about them, because I don't even think there is something to talk about. People that are dealing with something that they don't understand or know, because they're not attaining. Just like in general about the wisdom of Kabbalah, there's no reason to open the mouth about anyone if he's not in in attainment. What's he talking about? Some people jump and they start talking about whether it's right or wrong. What mind of beast are you talking about? Altogether, you're just a human. And here we're talking about something godly. Did you rise to this? Are you in this? Everyone is similar to animals. It's not something to slander people. It's just the way we are in this world. Where this is at least so that you have some brain to understand that you're above this, and to understand that you have no contact with this. And if you have no contact, what word could come out of your mouth? Therefore, for all the people that are not in attainment and are talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's just mercy on them, because they simply don't understand how stupid they are. And certainly we need to relate to them in such a manner. Well, what happened? What's going on? Mercy on a person that doesn't even understand how limited he is. Let's see why I'm saying about this. Because, again, we are talking today a lot about how to disconnect from what we have, from the degree of animal, and to rise to the degree of speaking. The speaking is the spiritual degree, which is only attained through the reforming light and work in a group, through a method that is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. And to disconnect, we need from the previous state each time, and ascend and ascend. Otherwise, we're the same philosophers. Please.
Writings of Bala Sulam, Kabbalah for the Student, page 99. The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy. What is spirituality? Philosophy has gone through a great deal of trouble to prove that corporeality is the offspring of spirituality and that the soul begets the body.
Our corporeal body. As if there's a connection between spirituality and corporeality. We are saying there is a boundary, and only what can pass from our side, which is the divine spark from above. And that spark is the one thing that can go through this wall. And going through this wall is considered that it goes through a correction. And the spark for the wall or after the wall is not the same spark. But a rishimoa, an impression, remains in it, and it goes from this transference, from the disconnection from the previous one, as it was torn off of the ego, and moves to beyond that wall.
Still, their words are unacceptable to the heart in any manner. Their primary mistake is their erroneous perception of spirituality. They determined that spirituality fathered corporeality, which is certainly a fib. Any parent must somehow resemble its progeny. This relation is the path and the root by which its sequel extends. In addition, every operator must have some regard to its operation by which to contact it. Since you say that spirituality is denied of any corporeal incidents, then such a path does not exist or a relation by which the spiritual can contact and set it into any kind of motion. However, understanding the meaning of the word spirituality has nothing to do with philosophy. This is because how can they discuss something that they have never seen or felt? What do their rudiments stand on? If there is any definition that can tell spiritual from corporeal, it belongs only to those who have attained the spiritual thing and felt it. These are the genuine Kabbalists. Thus, it is the wisdom of Kabbalah that we need.
Therefore, don't be so impressed by all those who come and say, all say about us, who are they, what are they, what are they doing, what are they studying, and how you need to study properly or not. First of all, we're doing it according to our teachers that passed it on to us from generation to generation also. And that's one. And two, who are they that are saying it? Are they people of attainment? Are they engaged in this? How could it be that someone that's not in spiritual attainment is saying about this some words, as if he understands how it should be? It's a stupidity that there's no example to. And there's no other example that's similar to this in the world. It's like the janitor in the hospital is talking about some brain surgery. That's how it sounds. How could it is possible? In our world, we can understand such examples. Here, not even that. Because what is Baal HaSalam saying? You don't have any connection to the world that you're in and spiritual reality. If you have no connection to it, so it's like, what are you going to say? What words, what sounds can come out of your mouth that will have something to do with spirituality? You don't. Simply don't. Because if you're talking about something, you're connecting to something, this to that. And if you're not, on the other hand, therefore only Kabbalists who possess attainment to, and only to the degree that they can, are permitted to say something about Kabbalah or spirituality in general. And the rest simply don't have any connection to it. Whereas when they talk about it, talk between yourselves at least, but not to us that who are engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah. So it's really, when we see that there's those that are even writing about us, or in general about the wisdom of Kabbalah, are doing doctorates on it, well, okay, he has to be a doctor in something, yeah, that's fine. But that he thinks that he's really understanding something and is finding something, some genius thing about spirituality, that's impossible. They can't even digest that. Well, there's no correction for that. Only the general crisis, like a tsunami, will clean everything. But Baal HaSulam continues with this and really says that the philosophy sees that it's a great stupidity that people who don't attain, don't understand. Well, let's hope that we will see, yet to see that they will learn the real wisdom of Kabbalah and will understand what was spoken of earlier, previously, what nonsense. Yes?
A student from the world is asking, what will a student that is not in attainment, he's studying philosophy then?
A student that is not in attainment, I understand the question. A student that's not in attainment is between heaven and earth. He's using his corporeal mind. He's told that he needs to annul himself before the group, before the teacher, to invite the reforming light, which is called Torah. And through this, he will correct his nature to the degree that his nature will be corrected. Corrected meaning that he will get a new feeling and mind. All his internality, his flesh remains, if you can even connect it to something. But he receives a spiritual partsuf, spiritual face, which is made up of feelings and mind from the vessels of reception, which is called the will to receive, and the mind in it, which is called the intention in order to bestow, which connects to the will to receive. That's called the sechel, the mind, the bina. And then he becomes in this wise in spirituality. Again, where does it come to him, the spiritual structure? The will to receive, spiritual will to receive from connecting in the group, the parts of the will to receive that are not connecting to him from the friends are connected through to bestow in everyone. The upper light truly comes really in those desires to bestow, makes them to real will to bestow, and then there's a field that is a reciprocal mutual field to receive and a common desire to bestow, a general desire to bestow. So the will to receive is called the matter, and the will to bestow is the intention. This intention to bestow is called moach, brain or mind. To bestow is mind. Mind is chokhmah, and to bestow is binah. No, do you understand what binah is? Binah is understanding, recognition, attainment, according to the degrees of equality of form. It's a little different to what we think are used to in our world. So binah connects for you all the parts, your individual parts, and then from that you start to understand what spirituality is. So we who are on the path, first of all, we read the wisdom of Kabbalah and philosophy, and we agree with the Kabbalists. Not because we're dealing with it, but because we know that they're talking from their attainment, and philosophers are talking from their attainment. Yes.
Ariel from Tivon is asking, he's saying the confusion outside is so immense that anyone who's into New Age is certain that he is in highest spirituality. How do you identify a real Kabbalist?
You want to see a Kabbalist, meaning you want to see spirituality. How can you? We just talked about the fact that it's impossible. It's the same thing. What you see, you're seeing in your eyes and your senses, so you can only see corporeality.
No.
Well,
so he's asking, okay, what should I do then?
There's nothing to do. Therefore, it says the Creator brings a person to the place where he says, take for yourself this good destiny, and the person should take. And to take means to annul himself. Yes.
For example, Fred from Chicago, he extends the question and says, if I'm capable of knowing whether someone has attained spirituality or not before I do it myself, how can I judge other people's opinion toward our method?
He can't.
So he's asking, should I believe that they can't achieve spirituality because they're simply not sitting with us?
He should go to the university and annul himself before those who are studying philosophy. Why do I care? A person is brought to a place. The opportunity is brought to a person. Whoever can and needs to come to spirituality is brought to the place where he can attain spirituality. But after that, it's his own free will. It could be a person with a very high soul, meaning a very great spiritual potential, but he's not implementing it. He's not realizing it. He can't annul himself in order to take what the Creator is presenting for him. The Creator, the group, the teacher, the books, the method. Yes.
Dario from Mexico is asking, why are we so accustomed to philosophy and life?
Philosophy gives us a summary of matters. It wraps us. We like to tie these things together, though they're not in us as proof, as precise matters. A person likes to work with his mind because in his mind he completes things that are not before him. And therefore, everything that is abstract and disrobed from matter is called philosophy. Either for the good or for the bad. Lately, it's not a good word. Who goes to study philosophy? Who needs that? Who even writes that? You know, they write for each other. They even read each other's writings, only if it's to argue about something. That's the matter that the attitude between them, yes?
Michal from Russia is asking how not to fall into philosophy in our work, in the work in the group.
In us, there isn't. It's only the action, only the nullification before the group, and inclusion in them, and everything that we learn to truly implement it. Also, according to the criticism, one should not do other than what his eye sees, and also what he acts. So his wisdom won't be greater than his actions. His wisdom is greater than his actions. It's already philosophy. So either Bala Sulam is kind of just talking about those wisdoms of those God. He calls them Jerusalem Kabbalists. That's also philosophers. But at least they're saying, we're not imagining, just studying. If something comes to us, it'll come. If not, not. But that's a totally different kind. Meaning to study what's written. More than that, I don't know. Don't ask me anything. I'm just learning from what's written. The main thing for me is to know the sentences, the sources, nothing other than that. That's one thing. There are types of people that are specifically drawn to that. I also saw one that I brought to Rabash. After a few months, he later got married, and he truly knew it by heart. He truly knew the whole things of the word. Pri Chacham, the letters and the articles, in my heart. All these introductions and everything. Memory and desire. Yes?
What is the partition between the worlds made of, and what does it turn into when you cross it?
The separation in the worlds is called the machzor, which is called above reason or above bestowal, or restricting oneself. And what's it made of? It's made of the screen, the masach, or some potential. And the first restriction, let's say. And going through it is only by one agreeing to the conditions of the restriction. Well,
Dan from Modin says, yesterday evening there was a very important act of dissemination in Abu Ghosh in Israel that different groups from the area participated in, and it was during the Yeshivat Chaverim. It was really felt how the meeting is turning into Yeshivat Chaverim, as if all the nations are above all differences.
I think that yesterday in Abu Ghosh there was a gathering of what is it called? Arvut, maybe you should tell us. Yes, because I wasn't there. You have it. Well, yesterday in Abu Ghosh there was a very big gathering. There were close to 800 people. Abu Ghosh, what is it? It's near Jerusalem, whoever knows. It's on the when you go up to Jerusalem, near Mevaseret Zion and Kiryat Yarim, and it was due to a lot of racism. It was a activity that had to do with the educational department and several other organizations, together with our Arvut home in Modi'in and Jerusalem, that were total partners to this event. Many youth groups and associations, and the whole discussion was to show that we can rise above our differences, and that the connection between people, it wasn't a political event of any sort, but that the connection between people has the possibility to rise, to ascend, and when we don't have a connection, we don't. It was a very special educational event, and the spirit of connection was very powerful. That also something that flows in all the other events that we do, and really gave a lot of impression. Well, we talk about the fact that love thy friend as thyself is spreading, and it must spread from the nation of Israel, from the Kabbalists, and then to all of the nation of Israel, and then to the neighbors, and like that to all the nations of the world, until the whole world becomes like one family. This is how the wisdom of Kabbalah says, and therefore these actions are very important, and we have to continue in this, and certainly we will be happy to participate in them, and it's certain that actually we will be there as the main organizers in all sorts of such events, and we will give to anyone who wants to participate, we will give place with no connection to a nation or sex or nationality, and we wanted to go all the way to the degree of love thy friend as thyself until we all become as one family, then we are capable of doing it. Other than that, in such events, we're also arranging round tables and all the laws of our workshop, and therefore people are starting to get the impression from the fact that people are starting to feel that between them is some new force, some new impression is occurring, and according to that, they're approaching correction, and therefore we're not going to stop with this, we're going to continue with this, and it's our obligation. Yes? Another event that was yesterday, Moshe from Los Angeles tells us, we had an amazing, full of impression meal and connection with groups from Russia and North America, and also the Yashar Kel groups, who are the veterans, the virtual students in North America, in English. And he asks, how do we continue such an important connection that helps us and gives us an impression for the preparation for the convention, and it's really needed. We have many sub-organizations within the World Bnei Baruch organization, and one of them is Yashar Kel. It's the organization of the Learning Center, of the Educational Center, of Mike Kellogg, who truly in loyalty and with great power is operating for many years. He's at least for 10 years with us. He's very, very dedicated to the whole matter, to the whole dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And what I can say is that I give my blessing to all these actions. I truly bless it, and I hope that we will all in the end connect together, and we'll feel that we need to operate as one. Yes. Sasha from Moscow is asking, yesterday evening there was an event, what we did here in the evening with the gathering of friends, and then the workshop that the friends did. We tried the new format of the event, which was planned for the Peter convention. Many like this format. Does it mean that we need to still improve this format, or is it worthwhile for us to adapt ourselves to this format? I never said what needs to be in a gathering of friends. Did you hear from me what you need to do? Also yesterday? After I told them I'm not existing, they left me and did what they did. I can't enter that. There's Rabash who writes what you need to do, and you, according to your understanding, you need to get advice from all the participants in the world, and according to that, decide, yes. An additional question, is it worthwhile for all the friends that are flying to Peter will meet and do a special preparation on a daily basis? Is that the right action, or is it just worthwhile to do the preparation in the tents? No, I think that, let's say, next Sunday, we will do a big preparation before the trip to Peter. On Monday, I'm already flying, and there's also other friends that are starting to fly from Monday and also from all the world. There are people who are coming in advance. So we will do next Sunday some big preparation. We'll think about it, how to actually do it with all the groups in the world, and of course with Peter and Moscow, and we will do it because really that's the final meeting before the convention. Yes. That's it. We're being reminded that registration is close to 1,000 participants, and we're expecting 2,000. So they're asking that all the friends that already bought tickets know they're going to be to simply register, because it's something that they need to prepare for. So, yes, this is very important. Of course, you know that when we organize such conventions, we know how important it is to know in advance the quantity of participants. So please, let's finish the registration today. Today, each and every one that hears, that understands, that feels, tell this to everyone, each press each other, and everyone will register today for the convention. Make sure that each checks which mirror convention he's going to be. Each and every one should prepare himself for the next weekend. And for the time being, one announcement before the end. Bore, come and see an open evening in the Elat campus of Kabbalah. We're inviting you to an open evening in the Kabbalah La'am College in Elat, Wednesday, July 3rd at 7 o'clock in the evening. For details, 1-700-509-209, and we will end with a Nigun.